Madhava Kunja Bihari Upirana Balaba Hirivara Dhari Nabalaba Hirivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Brahmada Naranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Everyone, one, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Nitai Gol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Nitai Gol, Hare Bol, Nitai Gol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya, go Premananda. I need to...
why don't you move a little bit more close? Otherwise, I'm so alone here. I'm getting a little lonely. Thank you. Just made it.
15 and 16. Yeah, this one 16.
This one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Te tu Brahma Radam Nitai. Magna Krishna Nakro. Kodritaha Dadri Sur Brahmano Lokam Dadri Sur Brahmano Lokam Yatra Kruro Yagat Pura Tetu Brahmaradam Nitam Magna Krishna Chodrita Tadishu Brahmano Lokam Yatra Kruro Jagat Pura Tetu Brahma Radam Nita Magna Krishna Chodrita Dadri Sur Brahmano Lokam Yatra Kruro Jayat Pura
Jaitu Brahma Radam Nita
Jaitu Brahma Radam Nita
Magna Krishna Chodrita
Magna Krishna Chodrita
Dadri Sur Brahmano Lokam
Dadri Sur Brahmano Lokam
Yatra Kruro Jagat Pura
Yatra Kruro Jagat Pura
Tetu Brahma Radam Nita
Tetu Brahma Radam Nita
Magna Krishna Chodrita
Magna Krishna Chodrita
Tadrishur Brahmana Lokam
Tadrishur Brahmana Lokam
Yatra Kruro Adhyada Pura
Ladies, Tetu Brahma Radam Nita, Vakrishena Prodita, Brahmaradam, the lake known as Brahmarida, Nita, broad, Magna, submerged, Krishna Nena, by Krishna, Cha, end, Uditaha, lifted out, Dadrishu, they saw, Brahmana, the absolute truth. Lokam, the transcendental planet. Yatra, where? Agrura, Akura. Ajagat, saw. Pura, previously. Translation. The coward men were brought by Krishna to the Brahma Radha, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world, the coward men saw the planet of the absolute truth. Can you hear me now? Prabhupada, the unlimited extension of spiritual light, called the Brahma Jyoti in text 15, is compared to the lake called Brahma Radha. Lord Krishna submerged the coward men in that lake in the sense, he submerged them in the awareness of the impersonal Brahman. But then, as indicated by the word Udritaha, he lifted them up to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet. As clearly stated here, Dadrishur Brahmano Lokam, they saw, just as Akruda did, the transcendental abode of the absolute truth. The evolution of consciousness may be briefly summarized as follows. In ordinary consciousness, we receive and are attracted to the variety of material things. Rising to the first stage of spiritual consciousness, we transcend material variety and focus instead on the undifferentiated one, which lies behind and gives existence to the many. Finally, rising to Krishna consciousness, we find that the absolute spiritual one contains its own eternal variety. In fact, since this world is a mere shadow of eternal existence, you would expect to find spiritual variety within the one. And indeed, we do find it in the sacred text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Astute readers may note that the pastimes involving Akrura takes place later in the Bhagavatam, after the present affair with the coward man. The reason Shukadeva Goswami says Akrura saw Vaikuntapura previously, it is that all these incidents took place many years before the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Omagyanti Midandasya Gadanjana Shalakaya Chakshunaminitam Yinatasmai Sigurabhinamam Sichitanya Manovistam Stapitamina Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantigam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Go Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram. So this verse is quite interesting because Krishna shows to the coward boys the different realms of higher reality in this world. In the material world, we are limited to the objects of material existence, basically speaking. And even if people become very sophisticated, they cannot go beyond that. Jiva Goswami, he points out that there are three ways of knowing in Tattva Sandarbha. First is Pradyaksha, direct perception through the senses and through the mind, direct sense perception. Like for example, when we see the sun by sense perception, we see the sun in the morning as being reddish. In the evening, we see the sun as being reddish. At noon, the sun is very white. By the tactile senses, by the feeling, we feel the sun is pleasant in the morning, unbearable, at least in India, particularly in Vrindavan. In the evening, pleasant again. Vrindavan can be very difficult in summer. I have to admit, when I was staying here about 20 years ago, I bought myself a full-fledged size freezer from Goodrich and put myself in there not to go crazy in 50 degrees Celsius. That was a horrible summer. 10,000 people died in the Vrindavan area. So this is all sense perception. By seeing, smelling, hearing, we can understand reality to a certain extent, like the sun. More advanced is an anumana. Mana means mind, anu means to follow, by basically speaking mental speculation. And science is mental speculation. It's a mental speculation. Because even then, they can only understand the material phenomena to a certain degree. They cannot see the unseen reality behind the material phenomena. Like, for example, we have this huge CERN particle accelerator in Switzerland. It's about 30 kilometers across, underground. Trillions were used to build this, to jam the particles into each other and to create the Big Bang, to understand the creation, basically speaking. But we know they never come to the conclusion, the one theory after the other, toppling the previous one. They can never come to the conclusion, because the cause of all causes, as we know, Sarva Karana Karanam, including the cause of the universe, is Krishna. And so the scientists cannot outrun Krishna as much as Mother Yashoda couldn't outrun Krishna. You know, it's not possible. He's always a step ahead. They will never be able to come to the conclusion, although they may be researching for trillions of years. It's not possible. We are limited as human beings. So even by this anumana, we cannot understand. We need access to the higher reality behind the phenomena. Like Prabhupada says, behind the phenomena of the law of gravity. Who's behind the phenomena of gravity? Anybody knows? Balaram. The law of gravity is nothing but a description, a very crude description of Lord Balaram's power. He holds the whole universe together. It's a crude description. It doesn't come anywhere near Balaram as he stands on the altar here in Vrindavan. It's a much higher realization. So no matter how much money is spent, they will never come to the conclusion. Never. One theory is toppling the next one and theorizing up to the end of time. Scientists will not, because they don't have access. Access to a higher reality. Just like when you work in a factory, as an ordinary factory worker on a shop floor, you get a card, a key card, right? And with this key card, you can go into the shop floor, you can go into the factory, you can go maybe in the place where people eat food. But you cannot go to higher management. The card looks the same, but people who have access to higher management use the same card, put them into the same lock, and they can go one step higher. They have more access. Higher management, engineering, for example, accountancy, all these things, is not accessible to the ordinary worker. They don't have the access to that. Even higher, what to speak, the boardroom. Boardroom, you have to have the access for the directors of the company. They can enter the boardroom. What to speak, the penthouse, in which the actual director is living, the top man. You don't have access in the same way. We don't have access to Krishna. We don't have the access. Just like you see the pigeons flying here around all the time. They have no idea what's going on here. They cannot see Radha Krishna or Onitai. They don't have access to that. You bring a bullock here. You can preach to a bullock Bhagavad Gita up to the end of Kali Yuga. And the bullock will not be able to understand, because he doesn't have access to it. So we as human beings are intensely restricted to understand the material phenomena only to a certain degree, only. What to speak of the cause of the show behind it? It's like innumerable people go to Mount Kailash in Tibet. So ultimately what you see a cold, unhospitable mountain. Nobody has ever been able to climb it, they say. It's inaccessible. You can walk around. It's very exhausting. People do their tapasya, but you don't see. What don't you see? You see the higher reality of Mount Kailash. Namely, Lord Shiva is sitting under a huge banyan tree, 800 miles across, 800 miles high, on a deer skin, surrounded by the four Kumaras are there, and all kinds of devas are there, and it's a celestial environment of beautiful trees and waterfalls and deer and flowers and whatever. It's a gorgeous environment, Mount Kailash. But we don't have access to that. We don't have access. Even Vrindavan. That's why it says you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. We all bought a ticket. We're all here. But we don't see the transcendental activity between Radha, Krishna and his associates that are going on right now here. We cannot see. Rupa Goswami, he could see. He was sitting under the swing at Radhakund and he heard some laughing and some singing. He looked up this tree and actually the tree expanded hugely. He had not seen that before. And in the tree there was a swing in the form of a fish. And the gopis were there and Krishna was running at an enormous, at a time of their life, swinging. Then this vision faded away. So there is a higher reality behind the material phenomena. And we cannot access this by the two processes, namely pratyaksha, direct perception, and speculation, anumana. There's another, by the way, there's another pratyaksha. There's a higher pratyaksha. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitam idam utamam, the highest, the purest, pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam. By direct perception, a person is on the spiritual platform. He can directly perceive Krishna. Therefore, it is the perfection of religion. Raja vidya, raja guyam, greatest secret, pavitam, pure. Idam ultimam, the highest, pratyaksha avagamam dharmam, the highest dharma. Susukam katma avyam is joyfully performed. So that's a different pratyaksha, that's a higher pratyaksha. We know only the direct, our pratyaksha is the pratyaksha of a sophisticated animal. I mean, even we have in Rome, in the Vatican, we have this beautiful Sistinian chapel of Michelangelo. Beautiful. You see God there and so many things. Of course, the God is rather ungodly. He doesn't look exactly like a young, beautiful Navayovanam Cha, as explained in our scriptures. But a mouse cannot see. Even if the mouse lives in the Sistinian chapel for the rest of her life, she cannot see, she cannot understand, she has no access to that. So the access of the living entity is enormously restricted. And therefore we cannot see the real Vrindavan, we cannot see the real Kailash, we cannot, what to speak, the spiritual world. We don't have access to that. And so the first two ways of perception, namely pratyaksha and anumana, they're called also, what is it called? Avaroha panta, the ascending path that you try by your own capacity, by using your own faculties to understand a phenomenon. And then there's avarohavi, avata, avaroha, the descending knowledge, that means revelation. And by revelation is meant, in this case, shabda, according to Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami pointed this out in the Tattva Sandarbha, section 10 actually. First he talks about the four defects of a human being, and then he talks about the three ways of knowing. The three ways of knowing, namely pratyaksha, direct perception, anumana, speculation, mental speculation, deduction. And then he comes to shabda. By shabda, by hearing, we can actually see the higher reality. I mean, even in material knowledge, it is common sense. If you want to study quantum physics, you go to the university, you hear. It's called the auditorium, audio, hearing. You go into the Hörsaal, as I say in Germany. You go to a specialist and he will teach you yoga, you go to a teacher, right? Qigong, you go to a teacher. Lying, flying a plane. When I was young, as a student, I learned to fly a glider. So it's just an instructor behind me yelling all the time. You have to have a teacher in every field. But when it comes to spiritual life, everybody thinks you can shoot from the hip. Everything goes. whether it's Yatapat, Matapat, what is it in India, everything is the same. It doesn't matter one why it's as good as the other. This is madness. Even material life is no Yatapat, Matapat. You have to go to university and learn quantum physics, mathematics, all these things, English, French. That's how we learn. Everybody here, is anybody here who didn't go to school? Anybody, please lift up your hand. I feel sorry for you. Nobody. We all go to school. We learn from authorities. But when it comes to spiritual life, it's an ocean of mental speculation. And that's mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Adi Lila. He said the material world is an ocean of theories about God. An ocean of theories about God. Inhabited by various crocodiles of various kinds of doctrines. And so these doctrines, they are devouring people. In the material, they're devoured by doctrine. Why is it? Why is this actually this phenomenon that there are different doctrines? I mean, I asked myself quite a long time this one question: why did Krishna, in truth, tell Shiva to come as on to Earth to spread Mayavadi philosophy? Why? Why would Krishna do that? Why? There's the answer to it. Prabhupada gives a little hint when he said it is the last snare of Maya. It's a snare. If you want to come to Krishna, you have to be completely pure. The doorman, if there's such a thing like a doorman, he said, what do you want? I want to become one with God. Well, right there, people, philosophy, go over there. Somebody says, I want to worship God. How? What would you like to do? I would like to continue eating meat. There's a religion for that. If you want to eat meat, there's a religion. If you want to become one with God, there's a religion. For every material concept to worship God, there is a religion for that, created by God, actually. It's the last snare. So in this way, we are snared like a king. He surrounds his palace by traps. We call it booby trapped. This trap, that trap, that trap, to protect the king's palace. So in the same way, the kingdom of God, there are plenty of traps there, and if you have any material desires, we fall into that trap. There's a trap for that, a philosophy for that. There's some that's why Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paridya Dhyamamikam, give up all these different conceptions, religion also, material religion. What is it in the ultimate issue? It is speculation, a speculative theological constructs by different kind of so-called scholars, theologians, who even in the Bible, Jesus called them blind fools when he talked to the law, to the teachers of the law, of the religious people, the teachers. He said, you're blind fools. You have taken the kingdom of God away from the people so that neither you can enter nor they nor your followers. Right? He called them fools, blind fools. And Krishna does the same thing in Namamduskitinu Muda Prapadyati Narada. He calls all those who don't surrender unto me, he calls them fools. And he doesn't allow himself to be investigated by fools. How many times Krishna used the word fools to describe the mentality of karmis? Five times. Five times people are insulted. Material people insulted in Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskriti namuda, for example. Naham prakasha savasya yogamai samam mudo yam navijanati. Fools cannot see me. So, in the material world, omagyanti mirandasya gananjana shalaka, everybody is born a fool. No doubt about it. You're a fool, I'm a fool. When we come to the material world, we are foolish. Right? Everybody. Without exception. Everybody's a fool. But then people with a little learning, they think, I'm a professor, I'm this, I'm that, and do you see how wonderful I am? You know, how I know so much? These are all different foolish propositions. You have to go beyond foolishness. And foolishness starts with hearing. Shabda. So Jiva points out both ways of knowing. Namely, anumana is the pratyaksha, direct perception, sensual perception, or speculation, deduction, philosophy, everything. You can, the world can do with all the philosophies in the world. These books are not needed because they're not teaching knowledge, they're teaching ignorance. Ignorance in the form of knowledge, namely to keep people in the material world. So then we come to Shabda. And Shabda means simply hearing. Shabda means hearing. The process of hearing become revelation. That is the way how we learn on the spiritual, about the spiritual platform, and we learn within the spiritual platform. We learn everything is Shabda, hearing. And by hearing, there's a guru, there's shastra, there's sadhu, as Narottamdas Thakur points out, these are the three ingredients. We actually learn to appreciate the spiritual world. We actually understand readily what is Radha and Krishna, what is Lord Balaram, what is Lord Nityananda, what is Lord Chaitanya. This is all based on hearing. It's all hearing based on Shabda. So by Shabda, this is a bona fide way how we learn, by hearing. Even the material world, if you want to learn something, is hearing. But that's material hearing. We do not talk about spiritual hearing. You know, we have to hear. Therefore, yashastra vidim usij avatate kamakarata. If somebody does not hear shastra and acts according to his own mental speculation, then sada nasasidim, there's no perfection. No happiness, no paramgatim, no will he ever achieve the supreme perfection, the supreme destination, the paramgatim, the highest goal. Not possible by speculation. Therefore, this verse is so important. Krishna makes it very clear. Shastra. Yes, Shastra Vidimutsija. There's sadhu, there's shastra, and there's guru, parampara. And the central piece of the three is shastra. By shastra, we can understand. So we have to hear from shastra and not by some man-made scripture. That doesn't help us. You know, when Prabhupada came to Germany, there was this famous professor, 2 PhD, a Jesuit from the University of Frankfurt. And Prabhupada had asked him, he said, what is your philosophy? He always would ask this question first to understand, where is this, how does he tick? What's going on in his head? And he explained classical Christian theology, that Jesus died for your sins, nobody comes to the Father through me, and basically speaking, everybody who is not a Christian, he goes to hell. There's no way. You only through that way. And so he explained, and then Prabhupada stopped after some time, and he asked Swamiji, what do you think? And Prabhupada didn't say anything, but then he spoke, and it was like rambling, you know, like big, loud. He said, 2,000 years have passed, he said. Dead silence in the room. 2,000 years have passed. I was right there. I was over the moon when I heard that. 2,000 years have passed, and still you don't understand Jesus. The professor, you know, 2 PhD, he said, why, Swami? He said, Prabhupada, if you understand Jesus, you understand Krishna. If you understand Krishna, you can understand Jesus. If you say you love Jesus, you must love Krishna too. Jesus says, he didn't say love me, he said love your Lord, love God. And if you love Krishna, you love Jesus. And if you tell me, that was the ultimate knockout line of the whole conversation. If you tell me you want to love only Jesus and not Krishna, that means you have no knowledge. That's what it is. There's no knowledge. 2,000 years have passed and still you don't understand. Because to understand a person, a Vaishnava, Kriya Mudra, to understand a pure Vaishnava is not possible without guidance, without knowing the symptoms of a pure Vaishnava. Arjuna asked this question, what are the symptoms of somebody who is situated like that? By the symptom you can understand whether somebody is a fool or whether somebody is a sage. So we have to hear from scripture beginning and then Guru Parampara. Without Guru Parampara, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you go to a spiritual master, render service. render service to him submissively, the self-realized soul inquires submissively, render service unto him, the self-realized soul can show you because he has seen the truth. That is the way, you know, to render service. Krishna himself says this in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse, only by pure devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you. So without service, why do the scholars think that they can understand God? Without service, you can't. Why don't big scientists understand the origin of the universe? Because they're lacking piety, they're impious. Not only impious, they're impious fools. Because they think they can understand. And they're spending millions of trillions of dollars to try to understand. You just go into the Hare Krishna temple, buy yourself the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and you can understand very clearly what is the origin of everything. Or buy Brahma Samhita, little book. Everything is there. But why don't people take to that? Because they're stubborn. Why are they stubborn? Because they're so attached to sense gratification. That makes a person foolish. By sense gratification, we become fools. So we have to go through hearing. And that is a level of everything is revealed in due course of time. I saw one little snip the other day that there is a famous jazz musician, Alice Coltrane. And she visited Prabhupada here in his room. And she had so many problems. This problem, that, and she spilled it all out in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada listened patiently and said, you just chant. He says, chant and everything will be revealed to you. That's the reality of it. That Krishna will reveal everything. You know, that is how we get knowledge ultimately from Krishna. This is how we can develop our Krishna consciousness. Because more and more, according according to our surrender, Krishna rewards. So without Krishna, without serving Krishna, there is no way to understand Krishna. Only this verse, famous verse, only by pure devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you. Actually, Krishna stands in front of everybody. But we cannot understand unless we have huge amount of piety, huge amount of sadhana, huge amount of devotion. Then we gradually it will be revealed. Not by pratyaksha direct perception, not by anumana, religious speculation, this idea of God, that idea of God, so many different concepts of God. Even on the highest level, religionists are confused. Since I'm coming from a Christian background, Catholic background, I naturally follow what happens in the church. And so, among the three last popes, one was asked, what happens to the animals when they die? The first pope, infallible pope, according to doctrine, they're infallible. Although Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the material world, every living entity is fallible. In the spiritual world, everybody is infallible. When Krishna says, every living being is fallible, that includes the Pope of Rome, by the way. And I can prove it. The first pope said that animals, when they're finished, when they die, they're finished. Nothing. Next pope was asked, do animals have soul? He said, yes, they have an immaterial but non-spiritual soul. What does that mean? If it's immaterial, then it's spiritual. It's speculation. He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. He made it up. The next one, the last one, he was asked the same question, what happens to the animals when they die? And said, they all go to heaven. That means every monkey, every mosquito, every leech, despicable living energy is going to heaven. I don't want to even go there, if that's the case. Might as well stay here. So the thing is that you can see there is no realized knowledge. You know, very little knowledge. Astounding, I mean shocking to hear that these are the top people of a religion which is millions and millions and millions of followers. And there's no clear understanding what is soul, no clear defined concept of soul in neither Muslim religion nor Christian religion nor Jewish religion. All of them say there's only one life. And that's not true. Krishna says, never was a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor will there be a time that you will see to be. The soul is eternal. No beginning, no end. We always have been. It's such a fascinating idea. Think about it. We always have been. There was never a time that we were not there. There's no creation. Adam and Eve is a story. But it's not you and me. We always have been. And so we come to Shabda, to revelation. And here, which brings me to this verse, I made a little roundabout to bring us all the way how to acquire knowledge. How do the coward boys who are playing with Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, how do they get knowledge of the impersonable man? Because Krishna brings them there. He brings them to this point, like it is stated here. He brought them to a lake called Brahmarara. The Lord meant to submerge the coward man in the lake in the sense that he submerged them in awareness of the impersonal Brahman. So they found themselves experiencing the Brahma effulgence. And then Krishna took them out. And they saw the Vaikuntha planets. And they were not happy there either. They said, where's Krishna? Where's the Yamuna? Where's all that? And then Krishna revealed to them where they already were, namely the Vaikuntha planet. I looked it up actually, just to be thorough. This is actually very nicely explained in Sanatana Goswami's purport to this very verse. Let me just check it. Sanatana Goswami. The word Brahman means certainly. Being raised up by Krishna, they saw their swarupas in Brahman. They were completely absorbed in this Brahman. With Krishna as his object, Akrura went to Brahman previously. This means that Brahman is included within Krishna, being his amsa, his parts. This incident shows the Lord's mercy, power and pervasion in regards to devotees. So Krishna brought them to the lake of Brahman, the great reservoir of Brahman, and the impersonal concept of absolute truth. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna is that source, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. They were pulled out by Krishna's grace, since it was not desirable. Since that realization is an obstacle to the rasa of Vrindavan pastimes. They were pulled out of this vision and they saw Vaikuntha full of eternity, knowledge and bliss, the source of Brahman. That's the next step. They pulled them out from Brahman, then they went to Vaikuntha. And then he said, but because they played with Krishna and saw Krishna directly, they didn't find any significance in the Vaikuntha planets. So Krishna, he brought them, step up, he said, all right, I dump you into this Brahman. And he pulls them out and they see the Vaikuntha planets. And they still were not satisfied. He said, where's Krishna? We want to eat, we want to chase Krishna, we want to dance with Krishna, we want to run after the shadow of the birds. We want to play with our cows. When they were in Vrindavan, and Krishna blew his conch to have a picnic in the forest. How many cows there were? Does anybody know? Trillions of cows. Not just hundreds, or trillions of cows came, and Krishna knew each and every one of these cows by his own name. Trillions of cows. If you go to, there's a place at Govardhan where this pastime actually took place. It's a small little village. How is that possible? For Krishna, nothing is impossible. Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. So what is the difficulty of trillions of cowboys coming out of these houses? Trillions of cows came out of these houses. I mean, the activities of Krishna are so unbelievable. They're so mind-blowing, really. Mind-blowing. Nothing is normal. What we are used to. Trillions of cowboys. And so they wanted to go back to that. They wanted to go back to where they were with Krishna. They were happy. If a person comes to the level of being in Golok, he doesn't have any other aspirations anymore. That's the highest realization. So this is what we learn from this verse. Krishna, they revealed to them, again, the key word is revealed to them, the impersonal Brahman. He revealed to them the Vaikuntha planets. He revealed the Vaikuntha planets to Akrura. Everything is based on revelation, not on research on the spiritual plane. Like Prabhupada told this in his court chant, you just chant and everything will be revealed to you. It will be given to you as a gift from Krishna. So this is the point of this lecture, that this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that we see here the power of revelation. We have to qualify for that. It's not that pure revelation is given to a fool. Like mercy also is not given to a fool. You may give some fool some mercy, but it's foolish mercy. You won't give him the real thing, the real understanding. That's what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. So we are very fortunate, really, that we can actually sit here and hear this and apply this practically in our life as taught by the self-realized soul can give you this knowledge because he has seen the truth. And if you have thus seen the truth, you can see that all living entities are but part of me, and they're in me, and they're mine. Material scholars have no idea of that. They cannot understand. Or people who follow this Dharma or that Dharma, whether it's Christian Dharma or Hindu Dharma or Muslim Dharma, Jewish Dharma, this Dharma, that Dharma. By the end of the day, religion is not made by man. Religion is made by God. Dharman hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So therefore we have to learn from Krishna. We have to learn how to serve Krishna. We have to learn how to preach Krishna consciousness. We have to learn from Srila Prabhupada, even how to sing, how to dance, how to everything we have to learn, how to cook prasada. Everything is a matter of learning, hearing from Shastra, from Guru Shastra Sadhu. Thank you very much. We have 5 minutes time. If you have any kind of questions, you let me know. I knew that.
He said the Brahma Jyoti comes from this, you know, the reflection of the spiritual world, and they say the Brahma Jyoti is made up of eternal living entities. And you mentioned that in the spiritual world, the living entity is infallible, but in the material world, we're fallible.
I don't say that.
No, but you said that.
Krishna said that.
But so then, infallible, then why are there so many unlimited living entities in the material world? They must have fallen.
Unlimited, wait a minute.
Why are there unlimited living entities in the material world if in the spiritual world they're infallible? I mean, how do they become fallible from
that
infallible?
Is, Prabhupada said that it's very difficult to understand why we came here, why we were foolish. We ate from the forbidden tree, as it says in the Bible. What was that? If we compete with Krishna, if there's the slightest endeavor to enjoy independently from Krishna, if you compete with Krishna, then we are sent here. Bhaktisiddhanta pointed out, he said, like Adam and Eve, Bhaktisiddhanta said, we fell like shooting stars from the spiritual sky. So the story in the Bible is very simple, but it's very profound actually. Adam and Eve, they're not historical people as people think in Christianity. Adam and Eve is you and me. That's all of us. We ate from that forbidden tree. You cannot take that if you do. And so the snake said, if you eat from this tree, you become as good as God. There it is. You see, this desire. Some
say that we've fallen from the Brahmajyoti, we never were in the spiritual world, and now we have a chance to go to the spiritual world. Of course, not settled then, but some people have that theory that we fall, that we're wound up in Mahavishnu, then the creation comes again, but we emanate from the Brahmajyoti. We're part of the Brahmajyoti crew.
Some people say so many things. Ultimately, Srila Prabhupada's opinion is final. Prabhupada's opinion is final, and no other opinion is allowed. As simple as that. So we have, Prabhupada was very clear on this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also very clear on that. There's so many. Somebody says this, somebody said that. So who? Prabhupada always asks, who said that? In Paris, in New Mayapur, Prabhupada was sitting on his... He was very tired. He came from New York, overnight flight, and he came and took a shower and sat on the Vyasa-san. He was very tired. Tireless he preached. And the Vyasa-san was so big, from here to here, so he sat on one side. There was a roll there. And he was leaning on this roll. And then as time went on, he started going down, and he put his feet on the Vyasa-san. And he put his head on the roll. And then he fell asleep on the Vyasa-san, and everybody, Prabhupada is sleeping. And then after a minute, Prabhupada, so Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he continued lecturing. So at the end of this particular lecture, there was one boy and said, Srila Prabhupada, you said sometimes in Los Angeles, who said that? Who said? So I don't know. And Prabhupada said, there are many opinions. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, but Prabhupada never said it. It was very nice to hear this from his own mouth. So we have to, and by the end of the day, we have to hold on to Prabhupada. There are many opinions, this opinion, that opinion. Prabhupada's opinion is final. Shastra is final. No other opinion is allowed. Then we are out of trouble.
You need a microphone. We have to hear you.
So, what is Prabhupada's opinion? I didn't understand yet. So, what was his opinion?
On what?
On what he said.
World.
Yeah. It's very clear that we came from the spiritual world.
And,
Prabhupada didn't go into details, but he didn't say that we just descended from Brahman. So we never came there. We came from the kingdom of God.
Yes, but Tadagatvana Nivartante Tadadharma Parama Brahma means going back to his home, back to Godhead. Nobody can fall. That's what Prabhupada said. Nobody can fall from spiritual world.
Both is true. Nobody can fall, but somebody can fall.
So how that can happen? How that can happen?
In the spiritual world, everything is, even the most contradictory things are happening in the spiritual sky. Everything happens. And by Krishna, everything is possible. The most impossible thing is possible. He can do anything. It, our material logic of either or doesn't apply in the spiritual world. It's in the material world.
It's very clearly described as it has to come somehow or other.
Somehow or other, yeah. Somehow or other. That's it, the answer. Somehow or other.
One thing for sure that Srila Prabhupada also said, as we are here, are we suffering in this material world? The answer is yes. Just like when there is an emergency and a fireman breaks your window and comes in and says, come, let me save you. And then we ask him a million questions, how did the fire start? Is it a child who misused a firecracker, or it started in somebody's kitchen, or some short circuit. We are suffering, and the most important question is, how do we get out?
That's right. Prabhupada said, if you fall from a ship, don't ask how you fell there. Try to get back. So why do we spend our time like that? There may be so many things that there are many things we may not understand right now. Just like, for example, we cannot understand eternity. I was thinking about that yesterday, that God is eternal. We cannot think in terms of something eternal, impossible, because our consciousness is conditioned by birth and death. So if we think in terms of beginning and end. So we cannot understand, because in physical consciousness you cannot understand eternity, impossible. We have to go to the transcendental plane, then we can understand this awesome idea that I always have been there. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, never was a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. You know? So it's mind-blowing. It's just completely beyond our capacity to understand spirituality. You want to say?
Actually, we are a spark of Krishna. This spark is the light of the sun. And we are coming through the sun in this place. And when Krishna comes, he's come to bring the sun of this spark, which is very bad. He cannot go back alone. Then he suck out. You know, the suck also. And to us he's saying, come back to the spiritual school. You are coming from there, you are coming from my body. Come back, what you are doing there?
That's right. So let's go back.
How?
That's why the answer to all things is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama. You just have to chant, like Prabhupada said, and everything will be revealed to you. He just said it right there in this room, next door. That's all. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Go, Premananda.
Preetam Prabhu ki jai. That was a mind-blowing class.